Let's turn to the Word of God now for a few minutes. We're going to go back into Ezra. We're going to use the last part of Ezra chapter 3. So it'd be useful if you've got a Bible with you at home or here in the church, if you've got your own Bible with you, either in the physical or digital form, if you could turn to Ezra 3. And then we're also going to look at Luke chapter 6 a bit later on this morning. Let's pray before we listen to God's word together. Father, we thank you so much for all that you've given to us today. We thank you that you're here with us, both in this building, but also wherever we find ourselves, that you're present. And we thank you for that. We thank you that we can know you and we can listen to what you have to say. Lord, would you speak to us this morning? Would you encourage us and help us? And would you prepare us for the week that lies ahead? We do not know what lies ahead this week, what is coming our way. But we pray that you would help us be ready as we can be, as we listen for your voice in the reading and the preaching of your word. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've gone back into restrictions this week, and we all did this in celebration when the restrictions were, or were we like that? We probably were a bit of, we would be a mixed economy, depending on how much it affected us. But this looks like it is going to be a sort of our present. You know, it's going to be what we go through for some months. Yeah, I know there's a bit of a debate going on about whether we should be applying restrictions or whether we should simply be protecting those who are maybe more vulnerable and letting everybody else get on with living so that we get to grips with this a bit more. I think that will be a debate that grows and grows in the coming weeks. I don't know how it will go. And we will need to be careful and respond to the different arguments that will be made. But what I do know is this. I think people are getting more and more, I'll use the words, fed up with the restrictions that we're under. And indeed, it's worse than just being fed up. I think the levels of anxiety and depression that people are going through are just on the increase. I've noticed this week, just in the last week or two, just some statistics about people taking their own lives seem to be on the increase right now. So there are many causes, there are many things that we ought to be concerned about. People's mental health as well as their physical health should be very much in our thoughts and in our prayers. This is, without a doubt, a time for weeping. Mark sort of mentioned that in the prayers, didn't he? When we think about the numbers of people whose jobs have gone, particularly in the hospitality sector right now, people who are really worried about putting food on the table and about paying their bills, it's a huge, huge issue. Many of us are maybe insulated from that. I don't know how many of you in the church this morning are still working in a bar as a barman or bar lady. Probably not very many. But if we were in working in that environment, this is a really troubling time. It is a time for weeping. I know that some people are trying to keep our spirits up. You know the Glaswegian comedian, Janie Godley. Have you come across her? Janie is a sweet-mouthed Glaswegian. Somebody does know who I'm talking about. She does a daily sort of voiceover of Mother Scotland, a.k.a. Nicola Sturgeon, her daily briefings. And basically, she does this voiceover. Her language can be a bit choice, but it is often very, very funny. You're all going to go away and start. Just to say, her name is Janie Godley. I don't think there's much godliness in her surname, okay, should you go and check her out. But she's a wonderful lady. And I think what people like her are trying to do is to lift people's spirits. You know, this is often the case, isn't it, when the world is going through trials. Those of you who are that bit older might remember during World War II how important entertainment was, and they did everything they could to keep entertainment going. And the weird thing is, we're going through what we're going through right now, and entertainment has gone out the window. So the things that we might do are more difficult to enjoy. So people are coming up with other ways. We've been living in the digital for the last 6-7 months. So people are coming up with other ways. And you get these things called memes on the internet, on Facebook, which are things that people pass around. They share them with one another to try and keep our spirits up. And often connected, I was thinking a little bit about this. How in the midst of coronavirus do we do good humor? Do we keep a good humor? How do we keep a smile on our face in the midst of it? And you get people putting up things like this, just a few examples of this from the last 6-7 months about keeping people smiling. So how about this? Many of us are working from home if we're still working. Some of us can't. We have to go to school. And we can't really do that from home. But many of us are working from home. So this is what working from home looks like if you are a parent. I don't know if you can see that all right. Tie them up and make it happen. Also about working from home, how about this? There are 3 stages of working from home. Yay, I get to work from home. It's great working from home. Secondly, it would be nice to talk to some people. Thirdly, I hope that pigeon sits on my window today. For some people, working from home is a boon and a joy. For others, it will become more and more difficult and more distressing. And then I love this one that I found really funny. A reality sounds like an 8-year-old telling a story that they made up on the spot. This is from earlier on in the year. There was this virus that everyone in the world was scared of, and the world ran out of toilet paper. And there was no school for like a month. Then it was summer. And autumn and winter and so on. It is a weird time that we are living in. It's a strange time. And it's a time when we look back at what was and what we had, and we long for those days to return to normality, when we can actually go and sit in our friends' or our neighbors' or our families' houses without fear of the COVID police coming and taking us away to prison. Actually, you don't want to be in prison because prisons, Barlinnie Prison in Glasgow has had an outbreak of COVID. So don't get put in prison for breaking the COVID laws. Please don't do that because you'll put yourself in danger. But it's easy for us to look back and to think, oh, if only it was like the old days. Ezra 3, that passage that we read last week. It ends like this, verses 12 and 13. But many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. No one could distinguish the sound of the shouts of joy from the sound of weeping because the people made so much noise, and the sound was heard far away. The older priests could remember the temple being built, and they could remember what the temple was like. They remembered its glory and its beauty and its majesty, and they longed for it to be, the new temple, to be like that. And they could see from what was being built, the foundations that were being laid, that this was nowhere near. This was going to be nowhere near as glorious, as beautiful, as wonderful as that which they remembered. And so they wept. And some of us, if not many of us, are weeping right now because we look back and we think, if only life was back the way it was. If only church was the way it was in the good old days. And so we weep. We weep for what has been. Notice that some people were full of joy because at least we're starting again. We're able to get going again. Even if it's in a smaller way, we rejoice at what the Lord has provided. Ecclesiastes reminds us of this, that in the midst of everything, there is weeping and laughing. There's a time for weeping and a time to laugh, a time to weep, to cry, and a time to laugh. And sometimes we weep and we laugh at the same time. Sometimes we have a mixture of feelings that we go through. But it is human to be doing both. And so today, if you are feeling a bit weepy, that is okay. It is okay to be concerned. It is okay to be feeling a little bit low about everything that is happening right now. But there will still be joy and there will be still laughter in the midst of everything we're facing. Jesus talked about this, didn't he? When he gave what we now call the Beatitudes. And I thought we'd take a few minutes just to look at the Beatitudes this morning. Remember what they say from Luke chapter 6. Verse 20 begins like this. Looking at his disciples. Now remember this. He was looking at his disciples. This wasn't for the world. It was for the people who claimed to be followers of him. Followers of Jesus. Looking at his disciples, Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." So Jesus is looking at his disciples and he's reminding them of what it is to be blessed and the dangers that lie ahead for them. And actually the Beatitudes are quite difficult. They make for difficult reading. It's painful reading. It's painful reminders of what it is to be a follower of Christ in the world. So if you're going to follow Jesus, you may well find yourself being poor. Because actually, that is where God is often most present. Blessed are you who are hungry, for you will be satisfied. So believers, followers of Jesus, are going to go through periods where they might be hungry. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. If you're a follower of Jesus, weeping goes with the territory. It goes with the turf. So when we hear of difficult things happening in people's lives, it should cause us to weep. Not just for ourselves when we are facing difficulties, but when other people are facing problems, it should make us sad. Cause us to weep. And Jesus warns the disciples, people are going to hate you. They're going to hate you. They're going to exclude you. They're going to give you a rough time with their words. They're going to reject your very identity because of me. Now, I think one of the difficulties for us is that we have grown in Christendom. We've become really comfortable with being the church. And a lot of that has been taken away from us. That identity has disappeared. But Jesus says, rejoice in that day. If these things are happening to you, and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. And then he warns of all the dangers. If you're rich, it's difficult to follow me. We know that he said stuff like, you know, it's harder for a rich man to enter through the eye of the needle, a camel to enter through the eye of the needle. It's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. If you feed yourself and don't think about the needs of others, that is going to be troublesome for you. If you laugh and you just treat everything as if it's a laugh, if you are happy now and self-satisfied, you will going to face a time of mourning and weeping. And maybe, just maybe, that is what will happen to many of us who are followers of Jesus right now, that maybe we are being humbled so that we rely more on God. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. You know, how do you measure a false prophet? How do you tell what a false prophet is like? False prophet, everybody will say, isn't what that person's saying great and wonderful? We need to be really careful about that. We need to measure what is being said. So when people speak well of you, one needs to be careful. Now, the point of all of this is that I think one of the things that's going on right now is that we are seeing our hedonistic tendencies being denied. You know what hedonism is? Hedonism is the idea that you go all out to enjoy everything as much as you can. Enjoy life, make the most of it. Life is out there for living. Just grab it and make the most of it and enjoy it. Hedonism. And one of the things that's been stripped away is that we're being denied our ability to be hedonistic. So if you love going to the theater, you can't go. If you love going to the cinema, you can't go. Actually, even when the cinemas were open, I wasn't allowed to go because I would have to go to... I went to the cinema once when they reopened, and when I got home, I had to take all my clothes off and put them in the washing because I was unclean, having been in the cinema. I know, it's a bit extreme. Have words. Anyway, but we can't do that anymore. My Cineworld membership is now on hold because Cineworld has had to close, and so we can't able to do that. If you love going to gigs and concerts, you're not able to do that. And this week, if you love going to the pub, that's difficult to do if you live in the Central Belt. And so our tendency towards taking joy from life is being somewhat denied, and we are struggling with that. Now, there are economic consequences of that. Of course there are, and I've talked about that already this morning. We should be concerned for all those who are affected by it. But our tendency, even those of us who are followers of Jesus, our tendency to run after those things that will make us happy are being denied to us. And then we wonder why we're struggling emotionally and mentally and physically. But we have to redirect, our desire for happiness to the place that it should be. We should derive our joy from. You see, the people who gathered for the foundation laying of the new temple on the return to Jerusalem, they were taking, some of them were sad because they looked back, but they were taking joy because they were knew that this place was going to be a place of worship for God. They were taking joy in the Lord rather than anything else. You know what the shorter Westminster Catechism says, don't you? You'll know it from start to finish, every single word of it. The shorter Westminster Catechism asks the question, what is the chief end? What is human being's chief end? It actually says, what is the chief end of man? But let's take it as, what is the chief end of human beings? And you know what the answer is? The chief end of human beings is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. The chief end, my chief end and your chief end, is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And so, if that is true, and I think it is, our calling is to glorify God and to enjoy him. It's quite a powerful thing, isn't it? What do you enjoy most in life? What's the most enjoyable thing? Maybe it's spending time with family, and that's all great. It's all good, and it's important. Maybe it's doing the things that I've listed that I love to do, and those things are not bad in themselves. But if we are followers of Jesus, the greatest, most wonderful thing we can do is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. You see, and some people have described this like this. They've talked about it, and they've used the phrase Christian hedonism. Christian hedonism. Which when I first came across it, I thought, oh, I don't know if I like that expression, because hedonism's got a little, it's all about me. But actually, it's the idea that we take our greatest enjoyment in life from God. And in doing that, we somehow that covers all of the weeping and all of the laughter and the joy that we could ever need. So this week, as we go into this week, what are we going to do? I've got another slide. I'm not going to use the last slide tree on it, just so you know. What are we going to do to express our joy in the Lord forever? To enjoy. How are we going to express our enjoyment of God? Let me suggest just a few things. Whatever we're feeling, the weeping, the laughing, what are we going to do that sort of transforms all of that and honors God? Let me suggest a few things that might be helpful. One, engage with God. Engage with God and engage with God's people. Find ways to do that. We aren't able to meet. I mean, we're able to meet like this, and it is slightly artificial. Those of us who are here, we're quite busy this morning. Church feels fairly full. There's just a few chairs left. If you're at home and you feel safe, you're welcome to come and join us on a Sunday. But it's great that we're able to engage with one another. However, briefly, people will stop on the way out and have a chat with one another, socially distant. This is the safest place to be in the community right now. We're taking every precaution we possibly can. But engage. Engage here. Engage with us online when you're able to do that. One of the great encouragements for me has been when people have come and prayed. Monday through Thursday, we have prayer gatherings that people are able to do to join in with online. And it's not perfect, and it's not easy, and if your hearing's not great, it's not always easy to hear what's being said, and you forget to turn your microphone on, or you forget to turn your microphone off, and it's all very awkward, but it's all fine. Engage with the community, and in so doing, you somehow engage with God. Engage with one another. If you're concerned for one another, if you've got a concern for someone that you haven't been in contact with, there's two things you can do. You can ask someone else about them, which is fine, or you could do this extraordinary thing and find out yourself. If you're thinking about someone, think about how you might contact them. Do you know, I did something this week. I'd sent several cards to different people. Rather than an email, rather than anything else, writing. And it was it was a good thing to do. Send a card to someone. Reach out to someone. And in so doing, you'll be helping them. You'll be helping yourself. You'll be being a bit Christian-headed, but you'll also be glorifying God. So engage, reach out to those around you. And then lastly, have confidence in God. Have confidence in who he is. You see, the Lord is present in everything that's happening right now. He's not given up on the world. Maybe right now is an important time, because what is happening is that some around the place are just having their, like Cyrus the king, who allowed people to return to Jerusalem, people are having their hearts stirred. People are having their hearts stirred. So if that is what the Holy Spirit is doing, and we can have a little bit of boldness and a little bit of confidence about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. I had a phone call with a family member yesterday afternoon, and we had the briefest of conversations about faith. But it was remarkable, because I didn't raise it. They raised it, but I had to respond with a little bit of confidence in who Jesus is and that God is at work in the midst of everything that is happening right now. So we bring our joy and we bring our laughter, and I hope there is laughter that we can smile at one another. It's one of the horrible things right now is you can't read one another's faces and see whether someone's smiling or grimacing at you. It's really difficult. But we can bring all of that to the Lord, and we can say to the Lord, Lord, I want to glorify you in the midst of everything that's happening, the sadness and the joys I bring to you, for my purpose is to glorify you, and I want to enjoy you in the midst of what is going on right now. Let's pray. And so, Father, we thank you for your word. Bless us as we enter this new week. Help us to enjoy you forever. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.